Hey, this is Mike Woodard. I'm the senior pastor at Southwest Park Baptist Church in Abilene, Texas. We're excited about sharing our morning worship with you and the preaching ministry of our church. I hope that these messages will be informative, hope that they will be inspiring, hope that they will encourage you in your daily walk with Jesus. And as you listen, pray and allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart and allow the Word to come to life in you. This morning we continue our study in the book of Acts, and this morning our text picks up in verse 12 of chapter 18. Verse 12 of chapter 18. And while Gallio, the proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat, saying, "This man persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or vicious crime, O Jews, it would be reasonable for me to put up with you. But if there are questions about words and names and your own law, look after it yourself. I'm unwilling to be a judge of these matters." And he drove them away from the judgment seat. And they took hold of Sosthenes, the leader of the synagogue, and began beating him in front of the judgment seat. But Gallio was not concerned about any of these things. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we pray that you might just guard and guide our steps this morning as we examine your word and discover some of the powerful truths that lie within. And Father, I pray that you might help us today as we stop and think about our own personal alliances with the world and how we interface with this world and how we allow this world its place in our lives. And Father, I pray that you might help us today to find new ways to refresh our commitment to you, to find new and practical themes that exist in our life that are undone and unkept that deserve your attention. And Father, we pray that your Spirit might lead us into a deeper awareness of your presence. And Lord, we give you thanks for it as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. J.I. Packer said, "At no time since the Reformation have Christians as a body been so unaware, unsure, tentative, and confused about what they believe and about what they ought to do. Our alliances with this world have disrupted our sense of well-being and have dislodged our awareness of the things of God and the ways of God that make us uniquely different. For we are, in fact, aliens and strangers in this place. This place is not our home. That our citizenship is not here, but our citizenship is in heaven. And as dual citizens, we have obligation to live in this world and to become salt and light in this world. And it means that there must be some division, some separation between us and the rest of the world." And as Packer goes on to give his commentary over the passage, he reminds us that in the light of this experience that the Apostle Paul had in Corinth, coming now to the end of his days there, after being promised by God protection, and him walking in his way, found this incredible confrontation to take place, and the Roman government said, "It's not our business. The problems that you have amongst yourselves must be solved amongst yourselves." And yet the Jews of the time in Corinth had fallen prey to the very same kind of failure that the children of Israel had practiced now for almost 1,500 years. You remember back in the time when Moses was in the process of leading the children out of exile, out of captivity in Egypt. And along the way, God began to speak to his people, and then God took Moses up on the mountain. He gave him the Ten Commandments, and in the midst of this incredible demonstration of God's power, God's children were very unfaithful. As they took their remembrances from their days in Egypt, and they borrowed the things that they had learned while they were there, and they began to prepare for themselves idols, and they began to cry out to their false gods that they had been introduced to while in captivity. And when Moses began to speak to the people in the 23rd chapter of the book of Exodus, he reminded them, "My friends, we are to have no covenant with no other people. Because what God has promised us in the future is absolutely amazing." And when you look at the promises of God that were declared in the 23rd chapter of the book of Exodus, he said, "I'm going to take care of your nutrition. I'm going to see to it that you have plenty of food and plenty of fresh water to drink. I'm going to see to it that you have good health, and I'm going to see to it that you have a wonderful place, and I'm going to see to it that even your enemies are plagued by things that are unpleasant, that keep them driven away. But in return, the thing I ask of you is that you do not continue to do what you've already done, and that is to become comfortable with the gods of this foreign world, to become comfortable with the idols that are present all around you. But instead, that you will learn to just simply trust me." You see, the children of Israel had become quite comfortable with making unholy alliances. And unholy alliances are created out of fear. The fear of a lack of provision. The fear of a lack of protection. The fear of a lack of prosperity. And out of these fears, God's people have oftentimes turned to others and have turned to inferior gods to try to find ways to find peace and happiness and purpose. And every single time they find themselves in bondage, every single time they find themselves cut off and estranged from the power and the might of God's provision and God's protection and the prosperity that God desires for his people to have. These unholy alliances. So 1400 BC, Moses writes these words and declares this powerful truth. Make no covenants with these foreign gods. Make no covenant with these foreign people. But instead, just simply trust me. 700 years later, the prophet Isaiah would say, "Do you not remember our forefathers? Do you not remember the mistakes that they made back in the day? And do you not remember all the things that are consequential as a result of their failure to just simply trust the Lord?" And as Isaiah begins to share some of his messianic prophecy and begins to declare that the Lord God, the creator of the universe, is going to come and walk amongst us, that he is going to come as a savior for all mankind, and that he is looking to find and to seek after the hearts of those who will just simply entrust themselves to him. And again, the old prophet reminds us that we are to make no covenant with their gods. Now, exiled, return to the land. Exiled, return to the land. God is demonstrating his faithfulness. And as Paul would write to the Corinthians later on, it is this remembrance of the things that have transpired in the days of old that have served for us as an example. That we must not make the same mistakes, that we must not do the same thing that our forefathers have done time and time and time and time again. For every time that we make unholy alliances, we reduce our sense of trust in the God who made us. We defile the name of the one whom we serve. And be reminded that we do serve, in fact, a jealous God, one who declared that we're to have no other gods before us, one who has determined that he is superior to all other beings, things, created, man-made, God-made. He is the all and all. And this morning, as we stop and think about some of the alliances that we've created in our own lives, out of a sense of fear, longing to see to it that we have everything that we need to sustain us, that we have everything that we need to protect us, that we have everything that we need to be successful and to continue to advance in life, all the concessions and all of the alliances that we've created in our lives that have diminished our sense of trust and our sense of hope in the activity of God in our lives, we're reminded we must not continue to follow the example of those who have gone before us. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, if you have your Bible, just go ahead and flip over there into the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22. 200 years after Isaiah shares his prophecy, Ezekiel said, hey, look what happened. Look what happened when we created unholy alliances. Look what happened, not just simply to the world, but look what happened inside of our own tent. Ezekiel chapter 22, beginning in verse 23. And the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in her midst, like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured lives, they have taken treasure and precious things, and they have made many widows in the midst of her. Her priests have done violence to her law, and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane, and they have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they hide their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes within her are like wolves tearing the prey, by shedding blood and destroying lives in order to get dishonest gain. Her prophets have smeared whitewash for them, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land have practiced oppression and committed robbery, and they've wronged the poor and the needy, and they've oppressed the sojourner without justice. I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. Thus I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord God. Ezekiel said, look what happens when we build unholy alliances and we lose our way. Look what happens when we pursue the desire to find our own provision, our own protection, to find our own sense of well-being and our own sense of success. He said it created a conspiracy among the prophets. And the prophets began to say, thus saith the Lord, when God has not spoken. That those who were holy and righteous began to separate themselves from the truth and to no longer share the truth, until finally those who were listening could no longer tell the difference between what's right and what's wrong. And violence and disharmony began to cover the entire place, and people of innocence were being destroyed and killed. And all the while, simply trying to choose their own way and to pursue their own ambitions and to find hope and trust and peace in some other place than the Creator God. And God said, I looked for someone who would just stand up. I looked for someone who would say, enough is enough. I looked for someone who would stand up and proclaim the name and the way of the Lord. And he said, I found none. And it is in that day of indignation that finally God's wrath is poured out. there's a judgment to come as a result of our unholy alliances. It's a judgment that separates us from all the things that we are seeking and all the things that we're looking for. When we find ourselves isolated and separated from God and all that's right and all that's true and all that's worthy and all that's wholesome, we find ourselves separated from joy and from peace. When we find ourselves in a position where we have given our attention and our allegiance to the idols of this world and to the gods of this world, we find ourselves in a helpless condition, ultimately in a hopeless condition. And it causes us to reckon back to our day when we discovered our need for a Savior. It calls us back to that moment in time where we discovered the necessity of repentance and coming to the Lord and seeking right relationship with Him. It comes to that time in our play, in that moment in our life where we recognized all of the shortcomings and failures of our life that had separated us and had created disappointment for us, and how it was only God and God alone who could heal that brokenness. Now, all of this happened in Corinth. And the Jews, as they gathered together and said, we have to stop this gospel message. We have to silence this voice because there are too many of us who are falling prey to this incredible message of compassion and grace. And even the Greeks around us, it's creating confusion and it's creating a sense of chaos in our world. And it has to stop. And these Jews, instead of seeking after the Lord, the Creator God, went to the man they thought could do something about it. They turned to the Roman government and said, surely you're on our side. Surely you believe that this is something that's not good and must be stopped. Surely you'll do something about this guy, Paul. And the proconsul, a man who had every right in the world and had the power to do it, to say that in Corinth there will be no Christianity. But he also had the power and the right to say, in Corinth, we will no longer tolerate Judaism. We will continue to pursue our pagan gods, and we will continue to pursue our way of life, and we will continue to do the things that are pleasant to us and the things that are right to us. He had every right in the world as a leader to make his declaration. But he said to these Jews seeking an unholy alliance with the Roman government, do you know, really not too concerned about it. The fellow hadn't broken any laws. He's not created any kind of vicious attack on anyone. This is about your words, about your laws. This is about your problem. You go take care of it. And immediately they left that place and they went to the synagogue, back to the judgment seat that they had just been driven away from, and they took Sosthenes and they began to beat him. He was the guy who was in charge of the synagogue, but he is also a guy who said yes to Jesus. And they thought perhaps maybe they could put some pressure on Paul if they began to see some of his converts persecuted. Perhaps if he could come to understand the error of his way and come back to the home that he once had amongst the Jewish brethren. But all he did was strengthen the body of Christ. Sosthenes is an incredible character because where do you find him next? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. He is the one who brought good news and challenging concerns to the Apostle Paul from Corinth while he was in Ephesus, and allowed him to hear about what was taking place after he had left Corinth and about the struggles. And we have the beautiful letter to the Corinthians, that first letter that Paul wrote, and gave that body of believers who had become strong in their faith and who had remained true to their God and who had accepted the Messiah, the Christ, the one who was coming, he gave them some beautiful, powerful words of instruction. When you get to the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the apostle said, oh yeah, by the way, you remember what happened there in those last days when I was with you? Don't you too follow the example of those who have gone before you and make the same mistakes that the Hebrew children made a long, long, long time ago. And he recounts the story of the Exodus, and he reminds them of the lack of faith that the children of Israel had placed in God, and all of the ways in which they had turned their attention toward the idols of the world, and they had picked up all of the garbage that had been delivered to them through their culture. And he said, but you, be mindful that there is no temptation that is common to man, and that God is, in fact, faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you have capacity to endure. And some people put a period right there, but Paul put a comma. Not to be tempted beyond what you can endure, but that he will always provide a way of escape from the temptation so that you might endure it. In other words, he reminds us that we do not go through this experience alone. That while we're in the process of determining whom and how we're going to serve our God, how we are going to identify that one who has our total, undivided attention and allegiance, whether it is in fact the God of creation who made you, or whether it is the gods of this world that have tried to fashion themselves in ways that are appealing and attractive to you. That in the process of making those determinations, in the process of choosing whom you will serve, you don't go it alone. For God's Spirit is at work, helping you to understand and to identify the truth, helping you to recognize his sense of justice, his calling on your life, and his desire for you to pursue him and to pursue his ways and to pursue the things that he has planned for you to do. In these few verses, the apostle reminds us of the importance of our alliances and the things that we choose to serve, and the ways which we choose to serve must bring honor and glory to the Father. You know, he is waiting for us to say, Lord, there's nothing in this world that is holding me back. There is nothing in this world that has more claim to my life than you. There is nothing in this world that deserves more attention, more of my affection, more of my commitment, more of my blessings than you. And I want to return them back to you. Not just a small token. I want to give you my all, my very life. And I commit everything that I am, and everything that I have, and everything that I have potential to become to you. Lord, here am I. Send me out. Send me to do whatever it is that you desire for me to do. Because because I desire no longer to be confused about what I believe or about what I'm doing. I want all the confusion to go away, and I recognize that it goes away in a consecrated commitment to you. Lord, here I am. Use me. Lord, here I am. Send me. Let's stand together. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you might allow your word to penetrate our hearts and our minds. And that, Father, we might continue to become better representations of you every day to the world around us. And Father, we give you thanks for it. Father, bless now our time together. Use it to strengthen and encourage us, to resist turning our attention and our focus toward the gods of this world, but Father, to consecrate and reconsecrate our commitment to you as set apart people for a purpose. And Father, we thank you for, as we pray in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ with your life. No better time or place than here this morning for you to open your heart's door and say, Lord Jesus, come dwell in me. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, to come and to take up residence in my heart, to be my Lord, as I commit myself to you, rejecting all others and turning to you in simple, obedient trust. Lord, I'm yours. This morning, that could be your prayer. This morning, we invite you to say yes to him. This morning, perhaps you're here without a church home and God has led you to this place. We invite you to come and to be a part of this family. This morning, perhaps you just need this altar, a place to pray. This morning, as God is speaking to you, right now, might you respond?